I'm a curious kid
with a curious mind.
I do curious things
all the time.
Welcome to Curious Questions for Curious Minds. Welcome to Curious Questions for Curious Minds.
So, hi everyone, I'm Jonah here as always to talk to some cool person. And today I have someone called Adam Dom, who's an aviation meteorologist, and I wonder what that means. And I think you guys do too. So, Adam, what is it? What does it mean? What's your job?
Oh, what's my job? So, a meteorologist is a weather forecaster. We need weather for all types of different aspects of life. So most people know weather people from TV. And actually, that's how I started my career. Back in 2005, I was a weather producer for a TV station here in New York, but I ended up moving to Israel and became an aviation meteorologist when I was in Israel. I learned how to do it when I was in the Air Force there. And so what's interesting is, like, TV weather has a lot to do with making graphics that you see on TV, and then you see the weatherman or weatherwoman showing how the weather's going to move and shows you the forecast and what's going to be like for the next few days. In aviation, all we're doing is forecasting the weather for flights, for airplanes. And that could be anywhere from a short flight from just a few miles or for flights that go all over the world. So my first job in aviation forecasting, I worked for an airline, and I basically would create weather forecasts for the flights that the airline was going to fly. They wanted to know if it was going to be bumpy, if there was going to be icing, if there were going to be turbulence, if there's going to be snow or rain at the airport, all types of things that the airline needs to know about. And recently I changed jobs about 3 years ago to work for the government in America and do working for weather and air traffic control. So now I do weather forecasting for air traffic controllers because the airplanes have to fly on very organized routings across the sky. Even though when you look up in the sky, it just looks like airplanes are flying in all different directions. There's very specific reasons that the airplanes are going in the way that they are. And most of the time it has to do with the weather. So that's my whole life, is basically trying to create forecasts to keep airplanes safe, to keep passengers safe, and to get airplanes from A to B as safely as possible in any kind of weather. So that's what I do.
Cool. And how do you get the forecast? Because you said you get the forecast, but how exactly?
So we use models. So people usually think of models as like somebody wearing clothing or like a model car. But models for us are when we take the current weather, which we are able to use weather stations, like some people have them at home. Every airport in the world has a weather station, and it collects all kinds of weather information like temperature, pressure. It collects the rain. It tells you what the wind is, what the direction is. All of the information we collect from weather stations and weather balloons. Believe it or not, hundreds of weather balloons are released every 12 hours all over the world. The weather balloon goes all the way up to 100,000 feet into the atmosphere and sends back weather information to Earth, telling us what the different winds, temperature, pressure are all the way up into the atmosphere. And all of that information that I just talked about goes into a weather model that many countries tend to make for themselves. And a model is basically mathematical equations and algorithms, and you take the data and then the model and will take that data and extrapolate it out, meaning it will give you an idea of what it thinks will happen based on the current conditions. So right now in New York, it was raining all morning and the sun just came out. So we take these current conditions we have, put it into the weather model, and then it spits out information for the next 10 to 15 days. Now for TV, you sometimes have a 10-day forecast. But in aviation, how many hours do you think the longest flight is, Jonah, that goes in the sky?
Maybe like 15?
15 hours?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not bad. 15 hours is like a really long flight, and we even have a few that get to 18 hours. In fact, the longest flight on Earth, they're very close. One goes from London to Perth in Australia. That's a nonstop flight that takes between 17 and 18 hours. And there's a flight that goes from New York to Singapore, and that flight takes like 18 hours. And so in my world, I went from having to forecast the weather out 10 to 15 days to having to only do only the number of hours that a flight would take. So I don't have to worry about the weather now more than a day or so, which if you think about it, is much easier because we have a much better understanding with the models of what the weather will be in the next few days as opposed to what it will be in like a week from now. Right. So even though the weather models have gotten better with better computers, we still have a higher accuracy rate in the short term. So for me, as a weatherman, I'm very happy because I'm usually going to do pretty well. So my model is only for 24 to 48 hours. And even though it seems like it's not a lot to work on, we have to know very specific information, like the winds at 35,000 feet. Like we know in London right now, I can look on my phone and tell you that the winds at Heathrow, or let's see, I can look up London Heathrow right now, and the winds at Heathrow Airport are right now out of the southwest at 6 knots. So it's a very light wind. But if you go up 30,000 feet above Heathrow, the wind is probably about 100 knots. That's about 120 miles an hour. So the airplane wants to know what direction that wind is coming from, because if the plane can fly with the wind, is that better or worse than flying against the wind? What do you think?
It's a lot better.
Right. So if you fly from London to New York, that flight usually takes about 6 to 7 hours, maybe even 8 hours if the wind is very bad. But once I flew from New York to England and the wind was a tailwind, so the plane had a lot of good help, I got to England in 5 hours and 45 minutes, which is crazy because the plane can only go so fast. But think about running on like a people mover and like in the airport when you're walking on the moving sidewalk. That's what it's like for the airplane. It's moving on a moving air. So my job is to create the best route for that airplane going long distance. In America, a lot of the flights are not so long, so it doesn't really matter. But there are a lot of thunderstorms here. So another part of my job is to tell the pilots where the thunderstorms are and where they shouldn't go, because airplanes can fly over all types of weather, but they can't fly over thunderstorms just because they're so tall. Do you have any idea how tall a thunderstorm is?
Maybe like 5,000 feet long?
Well, that's like the bottom of the thunderstorm. What do you think the top of it is?
15,000?
So believe it or not, a thunderstorm averages a height between 30 and 50,000 feet tall.
What the hell?
Yes, it's very high up. It's okay, you can say that. I wouldn't, but you're the interviewer, so you can say it. But because the thunderstorm is so high up, Jonah, the plane can't go through it. Because what do you think of when you think of thunderstorms? What kind of weather?
Rain, maybe lightning.
Right.
Thunder.
How about like hail, like ice pellets and hail?
Maybe hail.
Yeah, so those are things that are very dangerous for airplanes. So we don't want to put an airplane in a thunderstorm. And if the storm is 50,000 feet tall, we have to go around it. Exactly. So my job is to say, hey, there's a storm in front of you. We're going to fly you around. But all the airplanes have to do it also. So that's what the air traffic controllers do, is that they create a safe way for all the airplanes to go around the storms. So that's what that's how I predict, is I use these models and I can see where the storms are going to go.
Cool.
That was a long answer for a very short question.
Yeah. So, and like, what do you enjoy about the job? Like, what do you love doing? And have you ever flown an airplane yourself?
I have never flown myself. I once was a co-pilot in like a little Cessna, and it was just like a fun thing to do. But what I enjoy about this job is that I went to college. I knew I wanted to be a weatherman when I was about your age, actually. And when I was in secondary school or in high school, I did classes in physics and atmospheric science that I thought would help me get towards what I wanted to do. And then I went to uni and studied meteorology, and I became a meteorologist right away. A lot of people don't know what they want to do. And so for me, it was something I always was passionate about as a kid, because my grandfather always talked about the weather. And we watch the Weather Channel a lot. Maybe when you lived in the States, you watch the Weather Channel. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's okay. It's just it's all the weather all the time. So if you really like weather, it's like, it's perfect for you. If you're into sports, you might watch ESPN, but I watch the Weather Channel a lot. And so for me, it was something I could do that was my passion as a child, and I get to get paid for it now. I get to make a living and raise a family doing something I love. And the nice part is I go to work every day and it's always different. The weather is always changing. We have different challenges we have to look at. During COVID, we've had to adjust the way we look at weather because a lot of the time the weather impacts airplanes because there's so many of them. And during COVID, as you would imagine, there's a lot less flying going on. And because there's less flights, the weather doesn't have the same impact. So I've had to adjust the way I look at my forecasting. But again, like I think that in life, if you are passionate about what you're doing, it doesn't feel like a job. It feels like something you get to do. So for me, ever since I started doing aviation forecasting when I was in the Israeli Air Force, it became something I was really passionate about because instead of just doing TV stuff, and if the forecast was wrong, like they would just hate you because you were a bad weatherman. But now it's like my forecast actually has a lot to do with safety and how people get from A to B safely. And it feels like a nice thing to be able to do is to help people get from one place to another in a safe way. Mm-hmm. But again, I think the takeaway is you should always try to do something that you're passionate about, because then you'll just be happy for most of your life. It's a very simplified way of looking at it, but I don't mind going to work when I go to work. A lot of people don't like going to work. I love going. I have fun there. So yeah, that's an answer, I guess.
Yeah. And if you couldn't choose this job, what would you do? Like, if you couldn't be an aviation meteorologist, what job would you do?
If I couldn't?
Mm-hmm. If there were no spots.
You know what? It's funny. I'm split between two things. I would either be a cantor in a synagogue, because when I was growing up, I used to help lead the services in my synagogue as a kid. And I still teach bar mitzvah lessons today, even though I'm not religious or I don't wear a yarmulke or anything, but I still teach kids how to read Torah. So for me, I like being a cantor and doing things in the Jewish community, but that's one thing I would do. The other thing I would do is I'm really into trains. I would love to be a subway conductor. Like when I'm with my son, who's just 2.5, I take him to watch, during COVID, we wouldn't go on the trains, but we would sit on the train platform and watch the trains go by. Because when I was a kid, that's what I would do with my dad. And so I love trains, and we have the subway right here in our neighborhood. And maybe I would be a subway conductor and drive around in the tunnels all day. Both good options, very different. But that's what I would do if I couldn't be a weatherman.
Cool. And so which university did you go to?
I went to Cornell University.
In Israel?
No, I went to Cornell University in New York. It's upstate, halfway between New York and Buffalo, in an area called the Finger Lakes. And in Israel, I was drafted in the military when I moved there, because everybody in Israel goes to the army when they turn 18. And I moved there before the cutoff date, which is a whole other story, and I should have looked into it more. But it was a blessing in the end. So when I got drafted to be a soldier, they said, what kind of skills do you have? What can we do with you? And I said, well, I have a weather degree. And they said, oh, well, we have a weather unit in the Air Force, so let's try to put you there. So I got sent to the weather unit, but I never knew anything about weather for airplanes. So they taught me there what I needed to know to be an aviation forecaster. And the nice thing about weather forecasting is that it's pretty standard across the world. You can forecast the weather in England, America, Israel. As long as you know the skill set, you can do it anywhere. So it's really like if you're an accountant, for instance, in America, you don't learn about how money works in England. So it would be very hard to do that job in another country. But for me, I can move to London tomorrow and get a job with the Met Office in England, and I could do this job in England without very much training. So that was a nice thing that happened in Israel. I learned how to do this job on top of my degree. So, but yeah, to answer your question, I went to Cornell and I graduated in 2005.
Cool. And well, thank you, Adam. This was really enjoyable. And bye. See you soon.
My pleasure. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you to aviation meteorologist Adam Dom. I especially enjoyed knowing that you actually, like, make plane routes, and that's really cool. And thanks to my family, I couldn't have done it without you. And special thanks to Oliver. as he helped me do the theme song, and he's my favorite brother.